Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited because I know many of you have been following along and you know that I go to FinCon every single year. FinCon is like my favorite conference ever. I get to meet some cool people, hang out with old friends, and dance my ass off, which is both good and bad. So I learned something new about myself last night. And the thing that I learned is that I am not as young as I used to be. So a couple drinks in, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to like calm down. I'm not 22 again. So it's rough stuff. So as we mentioned, guys, this is live from FinCon in Dallas, Texas, 2017. And I just want to do a very special thanks to FinCon Podcast Network for sponsoring our live podcast recording at FinCon 2017. Seriously, guys, you need to be here. This episode, too, is really, really fun because when I get to connect with older friends and people that I haven't seen in a while, today I'm joined by four of our very special previous guests, Melissa Thomas from Melissa the Coach, Jen Hempel from Her Money Matters podcast, and Scott Allen Turner from Financial Rockstar. Steve Stewart's going to be joining us too to talk about his journey, but I thought it would be so much fun to do a special Where the Heck Are They Now kind of episode. So Scott, thank you so much for joining, man. Let's start with you. Tell us what's up in your world.
Sure, glad to be here, and I'm very disappointed I missed out on your dancing last night.
Dude, it was a party.
I was there, but not on the dance portion. Yeah, well, here's what I've been up to. This year, about a year ago, well, I've got twins, one boy and one girl. They just turned four a couple weeks ago. And about a year ago, I was reading them a bedtime story, children's books, and I got this crazy idea, which, hey, why don't I write a book about personal finance for children so that I could leave some type of legacy to my kids and help other people out? I did a little research. I didn't find anything out there that was like that, that could teach kids simple ABCs. Here's simple words about money, like here's what a coin is, things that kids don't normally know. And so I've just launched a children's book called Money A to Z, geared at 2 to 5 year olds. Very excited about it.
Dude, that is so cool. So, okay, tell me about the stuff that the book is teaching kids, some of the principles there.
Some of it is simple money concepts, which was a challenge to come up with. When you've got a three-year-old, you can't talk about, here's what a stock is. They can't even make their bed. But they do know things about, you know, here's sharing. Kids understand sharing. They certainly understand, you know, that's mine. So, and here's what a dollar bill is. Kids go to the stores with their parents. I take mine to the grocery store, to Walmart. Here's what a receipt is, and they get that concept. Or you hand something to the cashier, whether it be a credit card, a debit card, or cash, or coins. Those are things that kids are familiar with, and this book gives them those concepts in really simple terms. The characters in the book are my dog and my cat, so that's pretty cool too. So it's simple, okay, very friendly.
What kind of dog? I gotta ask.
Yeah, Chihuahua. I call him the evil emperor. He's my wife's dog. He's not my dog.
What?
Chihuahua.
Very cool.
Yeah, Chihuahuas are one owner dogs, so I say my wife has a dog, but I do not.
I believe it too. Have you guys seen the video of the guy that's talking about when he has a long day at work, all he wants to do is pet his dog, so he just sits there and strokes his dog, and the dog is like biting him the whole time, and it's a Chihuahua. So I'm not surprised. That's awesome. Okay, so what are you up to too? You're still podcasting, still writing on the website?
Yes, I do my podcast 3 days a week, the Scott Allen Turner Show, and I answer questions from listeners primarily. People write in about financial independence questions. How do I get started investing? How do I get out of debt? So it's a very broad spectrum, but people are really interested in that, getting financial independence at an early age and correcting their money and building good money habits. So it's a real fun and rewarding. It's one of the reasons I get into personal finance, to be able to help people avoid the money moron mistakes, I say, that I used to make.
Love it, love it. Thanks, man. Appreciate the update. Jen Hempel, what's new in your world aside from dancing?
Well, yeah, the dancing. I did learn last night I can still hang with a millennial.
She can.
The
she
dancing. I had to prove that to myself. So I feel pretty good right now. And I wanted to get back, if you don't mind, because yeah. I really love what you said here, that Scott, and that you with a book about just bringing those simple terms on the receipt. Like the receipt, something that we take advantage, or take advantage, take for granted. That was the dancing last night. And really take for granted that we, those such simple concepts that sometimes are maybe not simple for everyone, and we just have to address it. But sidetrack, because that's what I do, what's new in my life is I have a book coming out, which was not planned because I podcast. This is why I podcast, because I'm not a writer. So I have a book coming out in February, and it's called Her Money Matters, The Missing Money Truths from Traditional Money Advice.
Wow.
That's
a mouthful.
And the
cover is beautiful, too. That's one of the things, too. I've been watching the journey, and I think it's so cool. So tell people, when is the book going to be officially released, and what can they expect if they were to go purchase the book?
Right. So it's going to be released in February. I don't have an exact date. Still working on, because my editor is kicking my butt. So it really is really all on me, and I'm doing those edits. But what they can expect is once I have the date, I'm going to be putting together a book launch team. And you will be able to be in the know. I'll have a page where you can put your name and email, and I will notify you as soon as the book is released. And I'm excited, too, because my audience, I really, really surveyed and got feedback from my audience. They also wanted a workbook. So it comes, each chapter, they wanted some action steps that they could take. So each chapter comes with a worksheet or some action steps that they can take. And it's also going to be put separately as well, so they can purchase that as well. Because I'm one that, and they were clear, I'm one that I read a book and I can write notes, but sometimes I just want to write somewhere else and have it.
I love it. Okay, wow, that's a lot too. So we've got two new published authors and a third new published author, still in your thunder, Melissa Thomas. Yeah. What's going on in your world?
Hey, Whitney. Thanks for having me on the podcast today. It's a great time here at FinCon. This is my second FinCon. And I love being with my people. That's what people always say. What's so cool about FinCon? I'm like, well, I can say I'm debt-free and I don't get looked at like I have four heads. You know, it's fantastic. So since I was last on your podcast, two huge events in my life. Number one, I knocked off concerts 37 and 38 in Las Vegas, going to see Elton John.
That's amazing.
Thanks to debt-free life, I had a third row seat and a fourth row seat, was able to get on stage. So shaking Elton John's hand is just one step closer for me to fulfilling my dream of meeting him in person. So
I love it. And if I remember correctly, I think I saw a picture where he was not just shaking your hand, he was holding your hand.
Yes, yes. Just that brief 3 seconds, you know.
It matters.
And it was just a very cool experience. And then the other big thing is that I released a book a few months ago. It's my first book. It's called Building My Yellow Brick Road. And the subtitle is Life Lessons from Pursuing a Dream. So it's started out as a collection of concert stories for my boys. And I just had enough people encourage me that I could write a book. And initially, I didn't think I had enough words to write a book, but it turns out I had just over 43,000 of them to put together. So that worked out really well. And so the book is doing great. And it was a really fun process. And it's not just a collection of concert stories. It's also a lot of my personal life. The middle part of the book, I talk a lot about how we got into debt, and then our attempts to get out of debt, and then finally, you know, finding the Dave Ramsey program, which is what ultimately led us to getting out of debt. And the end of each chapter has a life lesson, which is really an actionable step that the reader can take and apply to their own life. And the feedback that I've been getting from the book has been really awesome, because everybody takes away something different from the book, and I really didn't anticipate that was going to happen, that everybody reads the same book and no two people have the same takeaway. So it's been a really awesome experience to go through that process. And I'm in the process of starting book two. So I don't know when that's going to be released yet, but that will not be published until after I meet Elton John. But I've already started it because it was just such a fun process. So.
That's so amazing. That is so cool. So one of the things I'm learning is that maybe I need to write a book someday.
Yeah.
And pick everybody's brain and be like, okay, what the hell do I do? How do I do this process? Super interesting. I'm glad that all of your guys' business has grown and that you're really reaching out with products and services and just really helping people with their financial lives too. So let's talk your personal lives. So I know last time we chatted, it was very much focused on what's going on in your personal financial life. So Scott, tell us what's going on there, man. Are you still making millions?
We're doing well. What we've done is we decided as a family, my wife and I, we wanted to have a diversification of income. So about a year ago, what we started doing is selling off some of our investment assets, and she's been building up our real estate empire. Here in Dallas, our real estate market is on fire, and that's fire with a capital F, because we've got Toyota headquarters moving in, and so the real estate is just skyrocketing, and it's still affordable. It's not like out in San Francisco or Boulder, Colorado. So we have five rental homes right now, three single family and a duplex. We renovated a 1950s home, and she's renovating a duplex today, actually, as we record this. One of our tenants moved out. So financially, we're getting into that. She's managing that process. It doesn't take up a lot of her time. Again, we've got twin four-year-olds, so we wanted something that was light that she can manage as well.
I love it. So still living the debt-free life, too?
Yeah, we've been debt-free since 2009, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, because once you don't have any debt, you really don't want to go back.
That's right.
It's true. I think we kind of all agree with that, too. Can you tell us, like, for you personally, what's the biggest perk of being debt-free?
The biggest thing I enjoy about being debt-free is the independence. We love to travel, and that's really big for us. The experiences. This year we've been to Ireland. We went there for a week. We're going to Mexico for Thanksgiving, which we typically do every year, so that my wife doesn't have to cook and we don't have to deal with family issues, maybe. And then for Christmas, we're going to Durango to teach the kids how to ski. So we like to travel a lot rather than spend money on clothes and furniture. And I drive a 2007 Honda Fit, which has got 118,000 miles on it. Hit a cone a couple of months ago that smashed my mirror. Now it's got duct tape on it. And you would think this guy is an absolute bum, but hey, I get to travel a lot. It's pretty cool.
The duct tape life, man. That's awesome. Same car, I think, that when we talked last time. Was that the same one? Was that the same car as last time?
It was the same car. It's now 10 years old. And my wife talked about getting something different this year. We went through the finances. We're like, no, let's not get a new car. Let's go to more traveling places. So we've got a lot of trips planned next year as well.
Love it. That is so cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate you sharing. Jen, what's new in your financial world?
New in my financial world? We're still strutting along. I need to be sitting next closer to Scott so I can learn a little more of what he's doing.
Me too.
Absolutely. But basically, we're still continuing building on what we've been building upon. And we've been one car family, and it's almost time to replace that car, but we've been saving for that car. So we'll buy it cash. And so I'm excited about that. And really, it's that time where our families and our aging grandparents and all that. So we've been able to build money where we can help them and not interrupt like the flow of what we need on a monthly basis and everything. So those type of things, and actually teaching I have a high schooler. I'm saying it again. I'm trying to really absorb. I have a freshman in high school. I know I don't look that old to have one, but just really starting to think that I've been teaching him concepts. I don't know if I've been that great. I mean, he's done fantastic with the book. I mean, but really it's having him earn that money, fall on his feet in terms of giving him more responsibilities about what he needs to purchase so he can start falling flat on his feet so he can learn from that. Because he's a freshman in high school. So I'm like, I've only got 4 years to make sure that when he gets to college that he's prepared. I've already been talking to him about the scholarships, looking into those things, what kind of things he wants to do, what does that look like? How really we've been discussing terms of he's into music. You'll appreciate that, and he plays the bass guitar and the piano.
Very nice.
But anyways, so he's really into that. That's what he right at this point in his life, he wants to become a sound engineer. So we've had those discussions. What does that look like in terms of what can you do? What kind of income can you make? Where would you live? And is that feasible? So we've had those discussions. So if you're going to be making X amount of money, what does that look like on a monthly basis? And where can you live and all that stuff? So we've had those discussions because I'm like, I've got 4 years. I've got 4 years to make sure that my baby's prepared.
crazy, crazy. Yeah, if you guys, I mean, if you haven't seen Jen, go look her up. She looks like she's maybe 30. It's crazy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would say like 25. Oh, but
like,
it's,
I mean,
it's
maybe
it's
25. It's the weirdest
good.
Thing. That's awesome, Jen. I love that you're teaching your high schooler now how to become a responsible adult in the very near future, because so many people don't. They go off to college, they have no clue how to manage their credit cards or debt or approach any just basic financial situation, and it gets them in trouble. So I think that's really cool that you're teaching your kids that too. Melissa, what's new in your financial world?
So what's new is we are still debt-free. We just celebrated 4 years of debt-free life. Because like Scott said, once you go debt-free, you don't go back to the bad habits. So, and it's been fantastic. The greatest opportunity that being debt-free has given us is the opportunity to have experiences. So for example, going to Vegas to see Elton John, I have no debt from that trip because I cash flowed that trip. But our boys, who are 12 and 11, are old enough now where I can take them on short weekend trips. And so we live in North Carolina. We're about 2 hours east of Raleigh. So we'll go to Raleigh to the Performing Arts Center to see some shows. And, you know, that's 2 show tickets, a hotel stay, and extra gas. And we have the money to be able to do those kinds of things. So I think that's the biggest thing for us, and that my husband and I can have conversations that do not include, well, we don't have money for that. You know, it's a mindset shift to say, well, what do we want to do, and how do we figure that into the budget, and how does that work? And of course, you know, looking at our long-term future plans for investing and retirement to make sure we can both retire on time, retire early, so that we can still have life once the boys are up out of the house. And similar to what Jen said, you know, especially with our 12-year-old, you know, he's going to be driving in 4 years. So we're having the conversations with him now about, if you want a car when you're 16, what are you going to do now to start saving some money and having a car fund, and so that he's able to have the money to buy a car when he gets to that age. So it just opens up a whole lot of different discussions about money that do not include stress and anxiety along with them. So
that is so amazing. I love that you guys are all so future focused. I think, duh, right? If we're personal finance people, ideally you would be. So I think it's really cool to see what areas that looks like for you. And it sounds like real estate might be in a few of our futures. So Scott, when I get to that point too, Jen and I are going to be picking
Absolutely.
Your brain a lot.
Yeah.
I'd love to help you guys out. Yeah, my wife is really the real estate expert. She's got a MBA with a concentration in commercial real estate development.
So. We love her already. She sounds amazing.
Does she like coffee?
She does love coffee.
Oh.
We have one of those Nespressos and a Keurig.
Love Nespressos
are
good.
So good.
I'm going to get one once my Keurig's dies.
You don't have one yet?
No, I have the Keurig, but I'm going to get one.
It's a great money saver.
It is so good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And awesome. It gives you this like nice like little froth on top. Mm-hmm. It's the little things. It really is. All right, Mr. Steve Stewart.
Yes. Hi.
Last time we chatted, you were doing some pretty cool stuff. And at that time, you had not quite paid off the house. And we did talk a little bit after we recorded. You did pay off the house. But tell me a little bit about like what's new with your business. Let's start there.
Oh, boy. Okay, so we probably recorded that, you said, before I paid off the house.
It was like two years ago.
That was paid off the house. My wife and I paid off a little bit early. We paid off in December 2015. Mm-hmm. I had left the day job before that, and I'd been working on a financial coaching business, and I'd been working on it really hard. In that time frame, I'd become known in this space of this FinCon group as the blogger who had a podcast. And I was always trying to encourage people to start one, and I'd help out and all this stuff. And then in January 2016, I started editing for one show. It was Paula Pant and Jay Money when they were together as a pair of podcasters. And then that thing just exploded. Once people in this community found out about it, they're like, oh, you can pay somebody to do that? Steve, I want you to edit my show. By June of 2016, just 6 months later, it exploded into that's all I could do. I couldn't even produce my own show.
It's amazing.
So this is all I do now is edit podcasts.
It's just edit podcasts and listen to fun voices all day.
Yeah.
From editing all of the different podcasts, is it all mostly personal finance?
Only half of my clients are personal finance based.
Interesting.
I've got like 2 shows that are a chiropractor, another show that's a doctor, a couple of real estate ones. So it's not exclusive to FinCon people, but FinCon's really who I want to serve. And anyway, PT, the creator of FinCon, is creating something that's going to allow me to do more of that.
That's amazing. And guys, PT was on earlier too on the podcast, so it'll definitely be linked in the show notes too. We'll mention everything. Everybody's episodes are going to be linked there. Steve, what's going on in your financial life? Are you still living the debt-free world?
Absolutely. Completely debt-free. My daughter actually just unfortunately failed her driver's test yesterday at one point. But the expectation is that she's going to get mom's car very soon, which is a 2004 Nissan Pathfinder. Great starter car for a 16-year-old. But then my wife wants to get at least a no older than 5-year-old Jeep Renegade. Those things are expensive. It's stupid expensive for a 5-year-old car.
Tell me how expensive. How much are we talking?
We're looking at about $25,000.
Ooh, yeah. That's a nice chunk.
Yeah. And so we have already got about $20,000 saved up for it. Mm-hmm. I was thinking $15,000. That's all she needs. We don't drive very far, but she's got her heart set on it. We test drove one the other day. She knows it's the type of car she wants. So that's our goal, is to get this ridiculously expensive used vehicle.
I love that.
With cash, no
with
debt.
With cash. And so many people think you can't do that. So can you share a couple tips maybe of like how you're actually saving for this car with cash?
Well, I mean, what do you put money in a savings account. I mean, it's that easy,
so,
right?
So you just like say, hey, here's my savings account.
Yeah, and I know I said that a little flippantly, and I don't want to sound that way. Obviously, it's easier when you don't have a mortgage anymore. Sure. No debt, no credit cards. I got none of that stuff. No obligations other than utilities, you know, food, gas, all this insurance. Saving up for our daughter's college, all these things are things we're already saving for, paying for. Anything extra goes towards our goals. And right now, the goal's focus isn't a vacation. It was earlier in this year, just to make sure we could pay cash for the vacation we took in July. But now it's to make sure we have enough to pay cash for this vehicle. And when you walk up and you've got a $20,000 cashier's check and maybe a couple thousand in hundreds, you're able to get a bargain more often than if you're saying, oh, well, I'll finance it with a bank first.
Oh, that's so true. And I love that even though you are living like a completely, truly debt-free life, you don't have the mortgage, you're working pretty much for fun at this stage in the game too. I think it's cool that you mentioned you're still sacrificing. You're still, you know, maybe not taking as many vacations as you would like. So it's like there's still the give and take, even in the perfect world. So I think that's really cool to hear. Steve, great catching up with you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Whitney. I love the Money Nerd podcast.
Yeah, rocking the shirt, too. If you guys could see this right now, you'd be so happy.
We'll take a selfie later.
We will, for sure. All right, guys, that is it for today. What'd you think of this? Send me an email. Let me know. Did you like this style of format? Did you like hearing about where people are, where they're out today? Because that's, you know, it's fun to catch up with people, I think. So if you enjoyed it, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. I appreciate everything. It really does help support this podcast and get it in front of more people. Thank you so much for listening in, and I will see you guys next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.